This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're damn right we start now. It's In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Figgy, and myself, Reginald Atatula, as Sean said. I always appreciate that particular handoff. You never know exactly what you're going to get.
No, you don't.
And but it's always good, man.
Yeah.
It's always good.
Yeah.
We're going to do our best to give you another good 4 hours. Here in the loop. Always get involved by hopping on the YouTube and the Twitch. Those things are available to you. Sports Radio 610 on YouTube. Twitch is 610 Houston. And then, of course, you do have the text line, the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. That number, 713-572-4610. Hit us up there. Get involved with the conversation. We appreciate that greatly. And is it okay if I start with the show with an apology?
Of course. If you need to apologize, you need to apologize.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
I have been operating from a place
where
I'm like, look, man, I know Kenyon Green has not lived up, has not been up to snuff, right? Like, he has not been doing what has been necessary. But I was like, look, man, what are you going to do? Go down to the guard store?
Mm-hmm.
It's not an offensive lineman store. Like, these things are not typically what happens during the course of a season, just acquiring a lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Vikings said a word.
Yeah.
As the Vikings made a trade for left tackle Cam Robinson from the Jaguars. That is a starting left tackle in the league being traded. And not a bad one at that. Middle of the road, probably maybe a little bit better than that left tackle for Cam Robinson gets traded. And okay, cool. So maybe Caserio can go to the guard store, right? And if that's the case, what guards are now available? Like, I think that we open ourselves, or at least I personally open myself up to the possibility that, okay, maybe I was wilding. I doubted the ability of these general managers to convince another team to get a guy from a team that is selling. So what's out there now? 713-572-4610. Let's dive into this. One of the ones that I immediately thought of is if we're looking at, or before I even get there, there's been some guys that have been speculated. NFL.com suggested the Raiders, because the Raiders are definitely sellers at this point. And honestly, I would posit that they were sellers as soon as they decided that they were going to choose between Aiden O'Connell, and Gardner Minshew to be their starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. When they did that in the offseason, I was like, okay, cool. So at some point, they're going to be selling, right?
Yeah.
And Andrus Peat is out there as a suggestion. Or a New York Giants tackle, Evan Neal, who, you know, he has the size and maybe not the size to probably play guard, even if not necessarily the talent to play on the outside. But both of those guys are dudes that are not viewed as starters. They're the guy that's being checked in during jumbo packages. And so, like, what are you actually getting in those ways? However, could I interest you?
Mm-hmm.
And could do you think you'd be able to swing this, right? Nick Caserio would be able to swing a trade in division? Because one of the things we were talking about yesterday was an in-division trade, right?
Yes, Daniel Scherf.
Daniel Scherf is another
Brunskill,
one.
Daniel Brunskill.
But Brunskill from the Titans, who he also is kind of like an additional guard. But Brandon Scherf, who is a starting right guard for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars have demonstrated themselves to be sellers.
They are sellers, big time. I mean, I saw a story today that they have 5 likely trade candidates, 5 that could be traded. So, yeah, they are absolutely sellers.
I just don't know. Do you think that it's possible that Nick Caserio could get a starting lineman off of a division rival?
Yes, I think that's vastly overrated when the division team is clearly, I mean, they're on the cusp of rebuild mode almost. Whether it's the Titans or even the Jaguars with their highly paid franchise quarterback, they're going to have to retool. Maybe not rebuild. They're going to have to retool, and that includes getting cap space. That includes getting new players, younger players, et cetera. So, absolutely. I think it's very overrated, though. You don't trade in the division. Now, when you're trading a quarterback, well, then I think you don't trade at all, ever, with a division team. And we found that out back in the day with obviously Deshaun Watson. Caserio flat out said, we ain't going to do it.
Right.
You know, but that's a quarterback. That's a different animal.
I think that if there's any of the ones from this space, Andrus Peat doesn't move me. Mm-hmm. I love this NFL pro. I got to thank Seth again. Maybe I'll send him a fruit basket or something for pointing me in the direction of this particular functionality that the mm-hmm. NFL makes available, because I can get in there and watch individual plays from all across and just circle on a single player, right? Mm-hmm. And I did that for Andrus Peat. And I looked at the film and literally got two plays in before I saw him get beat like a drum versus Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, see, that's the thing that I'm not trying to do. And that's the thing that's kind of tough when you're going to get a guard of mm-hmm. this, like this, or a player like this, is that who are the guards that teams are going to be willing to trade you, and what caliber of player are they? Now, of course, Kenyon Green has not been particularly good to the point where he's getting beat instantly off the line. And then you have to ask, is it better than Kenyon Green? Yes, but how much better, and what are you giving up? Andrus Peat, I don't know if that's the case. Evan Neal, does that do anything for you?
Evan Neal's an interesting one, because you mentioned this. He's got the size to be able to play. I think he's maybe had some good reps inside. A little bit. Did you watch him?
I can't, because he hasn't played a snap this year. Right? These are the things that we're talking about mm-hmm. with some of these guys that are available, and some of these guys that I guess the news breakers would bring up.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Scherff looks like he could play. He plays right guard, though.
Yeah.
And then, you saw something mm-hmm. not more than an hour ago that really, I think, is intriguing with the possibility of a trade deadline to address the offensive
line. Jeremy Fowler reporting that it is flipping a guard for a guard would not exactly shock him in terms of the Texans, and that means Kenyon Green traded for another guard. The one that was mentioned was Nate Davis from the Bears. Apparently he's on the radar. But I think what it speaks to, he actually also said that he heard about that potential trade of Kenyon Green before Week 8.
That's super
That's
intriguing.
That's interesting.
Right, because it's obviously Kenyon Green had a no good, terrible, very bad outing when it came to
this past week.
And look, I understand that D'Amico Ryans will say that it's not all bad, and technically that is correct. But with offensive linemen, if there is enough bad that we can comment on it, that is a problem, right? Offensive line is one of those positions in sports where it's a lot better if we don't talk about you than if we do, right?
Because
it's supposed to be, if we don't talk about you, it's all, everything is A-OK, and you're knocking down the assignments consistently. That is not what it's been for Kenyon Green, right? But with that being the case, like, mm-hmm. I had not considered the idea of them trading him necessarily. Yeah. Like, the idea was, hey, do they possibly bench him or whatever?
Yeah.
The idea that there's a possibility of him being traded and
for another guard,
that thought process happening earlier. Now, I will stop and say, do you think that Fowler is reporting or getting his information from other teams or from maybe sources near or inside the Texans organization? Because I think that also changes the tenor of this information.
Most of these types of rumors, to me, maybe other people believe otherwise, probably 80% of the time come from agents. These guys are always talking to agents, and the agent might say, hey, man, the Texans are talking about blah, blah, blah. So it's almost secondhand, but the agents generally know what's going on. But a lot of them, like I said, maybe 20% do come from teams. I would say not the Texans. The Texans are a vault. The Texans are extremely, extremely well-equipped to keep things in-house. So I would say either the Bears or another team or agents. Now, it is funny, and you brought this to light before the show when we heard this. Like, even when D'Amico was talking about Kenyon Green and asked about Kenyon Green, it was like, well, listen to this, and then we'll hear yours.
Kenyon is done fine. Kenyon, of course, like I said yesterday, he had some bad plays. A lot of guys had some bad plays, and everybody's asking about Kenyon, and nobody feels worse about this than Kenyon, right? And nobody, he knows he has to play better. He will play better, and let's go to work. Like, that's what it's about. It's not about everybody trying to figure out, is Kenyon out? And like, unless Kenyon is ready, he'll be ready to roll, and we won six games with Kenyon. Like, we got to keep going.
Ooh, he really did. He struggled getting out of the gate there. Just isolate the start of this again for me, yeah. Right? This is, hey, man, we're asking specifically, is Kenyon Green going to keep his starting spot on the offensive line? Let's see how quickly our guy D'Amico Ryans gets out the gate.
Kenyon is done fine. Kenyon, of course, like I said yesterday, he had some bad plays.
There we go. Kenyon. Let me tell you something about Kenyon. Yeah, I was like, okay, we got to find the right thing to say.
Kenyon is number 76. Kenyon is
factually
an NFL player.
He's on this team.
I
do find it interesting that maybe the first place that he went there was nobody feels worse about this than Kenyon.
Yeah,
I'd imagine so, right? But that feels like it made it abundantly clear that, yo, this Kenyon thing is untenable, even with D'Amico Ryans, who I think will be, you know, is going to be as supportive of his players, and he's already made it abundantly clear that his MO, his approach, is positivity. But, and I understand that also in the course of saying that, right, like that
I love
clip
this.
That we had.
I love
he went to a place where he was like, you know, he's going to put in the work.
He's, and when he's a big guy. Yeah,
he's a guy.
He's a guy.
But in the NFL. Man, tell me that didn't sound like we got to find something nice to say.
Yes.
We're searching for something.
You know what
nice
I love the most
say.
About it? He said his name like nine or ten times. Kenyon, you know, Kenyon is Kenyon.
So. It's funny. I like when D'Amico Ryans get. I don't want to say that was a little snippy, but he kind of get like that when people keep asking him about a certain person.
He's just sort of like, "How do I get out of this?"
Like y'all keep talking about this. So yeah,
how do I get out of this without really saying something I don't want to say?
Yeah,
it was funny.
But you put that together with this reporting that Jeremy Fowler of ESPN brings you, and it's like, okay, well, this feels like. Not only have they been in that place with Kenyon Green, but like hopefully that they have a level of wherewithal to be able to make a move happen to add something guard wise. And to what level, I don't know. But if you can get a starting caliber guard, that's the thing that I was already in a place where I was like, it does not seem like something that happens in the NFL. So again, I'll apologize for saying that you can't go to the guard store. It seems like
there is one out there.
And I really hope that he comes back with a really good one, whether it's someone like a Brandon Scherff or whether it's someone like a Nate Davis. I went and you mentioned, or Fowler actually mentioned that as a potential name. We went and watched him a little bit. He is a right guard for the Bears, and for the clips that I was able to see quickly before the show, it looks like he was handling his business. I don't know that I saw anything that was like particularly incredible, and of course I'm not going to pretend like I've seen all of his play, but I was like, all right, he is handling his business. They're running an outside zone and he seems to know what he's doing.
That's key right there too.
And so I'm like, all right, that looks like something that is passable. And if there's anything that you'll be willing to put up with, at the very least, passable at guard play, even if he's having to switch from right to left, I understand that, or all those things. Give me passable guard play.
And the other thing about this that I find key is a lot of times in today's world, people just tweet crap out, and you know, who knows how seriously you can take it. I always consider. The sourcing on this, like the reporting sourcing, so to speak. Jeremy Fowler is not going to just casually put that out.
Oh, like the bona fides of the reporter?
Like a lot of people. Yeah, yes, exactly. Like a lot of people say, hey, I've heard this or I've heard that, and people run with it. No. This is Jeremy Fowler, you know, who, you know, obviously he's got some pelts on the wall and is an NFL actual reporter talking about under-the-radar trade candidates, and Kenyon Green is high on that list. To me, That matters a little bit. That matters a lot of bit. That he's, you know, he's clearly gotten this from somewhere. And the other part of this that I think is very important, and we just alluded to it a little bit in the toss with Sean and Seth, is I've, you know, speaking of apologies, you know, I don't know if it's an apology or just an adjustment or whatever, but I've been saying, you know, does one player really matter that much when the offensive line has really a multitude of issues depending on the day, you know? I think one player in this case does. It's been that bad, man.
Well, yeah, I think when you ask that question, I hear what you're saying, because it's not going to fix everything. It's not a panacea.
Yeah.
But the issue is Kenyon Green, at the very least, had gotten to a point where that was a clear weak spot that was constantly there. And the offensive line works like a chain, right? Yeah. You're only as strong as your weakest link. And in addition to that, that is also a weakest link that you have somebody actively trying to throw a sledgehammer at. Yeah. One of the things you saw in the course of this Colts game, you could see the point in time where Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator of the Colts, smelled blood
that guy.
And said, number 76 is the mark, right? That is the mark that we need to attack. And you saw them throw various stunts. Mm-hmm. And
they were stacking players in front of him.
Right, overloads directly on that side, knowing that this is a dude who we do not believe capable of holding up. If you give yourself a situation where now teams don't feel like there's one particular place, you've done something significant to help your quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think that position, I don't think it's going to, I think it's going to help, of course, because I think Kenyon Green just got unplayable at this point. I think when you're unplayable, I think you got to get somebody there to stop the bleeding. But I don't know if this, whoever they get, that one person going to change the whole offensive line, man. I think it's a whole vibe. I think it starts with the best player.
Well, and as I mentioned, like Kenyon Green, you wouldn't think that the left guard can change everything. And I've said that, but I think it's wrong now that I look at it. And especially when you look at this last game, Reggie, like especially that one play where they stacked, I believe it was three players. There was two players stacked and one was kind of roaming behind right in front of Kenyon Green, just sort of confusing him and you know, bringing the attack there. It affects Juice Scruggs. It affects Laremy Tunsil. How, because they're trying to help him or they're trying to get to the next level. You're trying to dissect who's coming and where they're coming. It affects the tight end, whether it's Cade Stover or Dalton Schultz. So there's three dudes right there on from the middle to the left of end of the line that Kenyon Green's bad play is directly affecting. So, yeah, I think it has to be on the table.
Some other things to note with this Jeremy Fowler kind of note about the idea that the Texans might be interested or might have been even before we get interested in trading Kenyon Green guard for guard to obviously address that position. He also mentioned that the with Nate Davis, who is a potential, you know, get in that particular type of trade from the Chicago Bears, he has $8 million in salary thereabouts, and that apparently the Bears would be willing to cover that, which
or some of it or most
or
of it.
Or some of that, right? Not all of it, but cover some of that to make it more tenable, which would be helpful in that. But then also going back to your question, Lopez, the idea of how much can one player move, change this. Davis is a guy who is on his second deal, but what if somebody and someone on the text line brought up like Joel Batonio, right, who is a guard for the Cleveland Browns?
That's what I thought about.
And he is a 33-year-old dude who is a six-time Pro Bowler. He's been, you know, like that kind of player. I do wonder if you end up with a player like that. Not saying that the Bears are, the Browns are indeed fully selling, because I do wonder how they feel now that Jameis Winston has demonstrated himself able of running that offense to the point where they can beat an in-division rival and one of the better teams in the league in the Ravens this past week, right? But if they are selling, or even if you just get a player like that, how much does coming from outside of this culture that I think some people are looking at this offensive line and saying, is there a negative culture? Having somebody that is a veteran that can come in and also have his own kind of motivation and maybe help turn that for the better if indeed you feel like the way that the offensive line room is working is substandard when it comes to their motivation.
And last thing, and I know we're going to revisit this for sure, but you know, if you are a team that has pretty much been on the record, certainly made it clear that you are, quote, going for it. If it's that bad at left guard, you almost have the obligation, you know, to at least kick the tires on another guard. Like, you went and got this five-headed monster. You went and got, you know, Joe Mixon. You're throwing all your chips on the table. You almost have to do something at left guard.
Yeah, and also because this is a team that offensively, you have a lot of talent there, and you've only been able to ring out, what, like a 14th middle of the road type offensive production. You need to be able to get more out of what you have, and it seems like one of the big reasons why you haven't been able to do that is offensive line play. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Wednesday as we lead up to Thursday Night Football versus the Jets on Halloween at MetLife Stadium. Coming up next, because we are talking to our guy Adam Spillane at 10:40, we'll do the question of the day next. I don't know if you're watching the World Series, but some dudes got thrown out of that event. What's the best reason that you've been kicked out of a place, or just any reason at all that you've been kicked out of a place? 713-572-4610 is the 5-hour energy fan line. We'll discuss all of your answers next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Higgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
I got by the Sean. Sean always has his headphones so damn loud.
Yeah, man.
It's cool. Yeah. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. We'll talk to our guy Adam Spillane here in about 20 minutes right here. But before we get there, World Series game last night. The Yankees stave off elimination with a big 11-4 victory.
They got it going.
Yeah, they got it going in the later innings. But before we got to that point, there was, I think, one of the more notable things that happened in the course of this game was Mookie Betts making what was, I don't want to say a routine play, but, you know, getting a catch out in foul territory, out there deep in right field. And as he makes the leap, grabs the ball, and two Yankees fans attempt to pry the baseball from his glove. Just absolute nonsense by a couple of dudes out there in the outfield. There's a lot of consternation about, you know, if they should be banned for life, you know, whether that was even a good thing that they did or not. But one of the things that at least you can have a little bit of a solace in is that they got kicked out of the game at that moment. At the very least that they could do was tell those guys, hey,
yeah, come here. Not tonight.
You got to leave tonight.
Not tonight.
Now, supposedly they've been told that they can return for game five.
Man.
That's kind of nonsensical, and we'll talk more about
what
that.
What is that, by the way?
That's some Yankee stuff,
what
man.
Is that?
They probably feel like that sparked the Yankees.
Yeah.
And now they want him back so he can, I guess, maybe that's the spark.
Yeah.
That's absolute nonsense. And we'll talk more about that later. But I did want to just... that got me thinking for the question of the day. Let us know. 713-572-4610 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Well, tell us about the time that you got kicked out of a place. And I would like to start here.
Mm-hmm. You got one.
I do have
one. Oh, man.
In college, group of friends.
First of all, it's a shock that you got thrown out of anything.
Right?
Yeah.
Not inherently my fault, but, you know, I was along with a group, you know. Yeah. College is a great time to get thrown out of stuff because you're just in there with groups, man. And also, you're in a whole bunch of places that you probably don't need to be at anyways.
This
However,
is true.
The place that I got thrown out of was a very mundane place in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with a little store called Walmart?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
You got thrown out of Walmart.
Got thrown out of Walmart?
That's right. So this is
he's about to say a club or something like that. A restaurant.
That's right.
We're getting back on brand, by the way, with Reggie.
That's right. That's right.
So I was at Walmart.
That's right. So this was back in the good old days of Walmart being open 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was a group of friends, and we was bored on just like a weeknight. And we were like, let's go play hide and seek in the Walmart.
Oh, God.
And so we literally went to the Walmart, play hide and seek while people are stocking up and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was the thing that did it was one of my friends went over to like the home and garden section.
Mm-hmm.
And in that area, they had, you know, some grills or whatever. Nothing like Techstar Grill Shop.
Of course.
But they had some grills over there. And they had them like stacked up levels.
Mm-hmm.
He had climbed up the shelves and hid behind a grill.
It's a good hiding spot.
It's a great hiding spot. It's a great
I'll
hiding spot.
I'll give him
spot.
That.
And someone was just like, hey, you got to get out of here. You got to go. And at that point, we were like, all right. But, I mean, look, it was not a bad way to pass a good 30, 45 minutes.
That's wholesome fun.
At like 2 a.m. Yeah, yeah. Fairly wholesome. Yeah. I mean, as long as you're not one of those people that's working a night shift with some folks making toilet paper forts to hide in and stuff like that. Yeah, but, definitely got thrown out the Walmart one time.
713-572-4610, your got thrown out story. So I want to preface mine by making very clear it wasn't my fault.
It never is.
It wasn't my fault. Figgy, you may have heard this story, but I don't know if it was on the air. So 2003 World Series, Yankees and Marlins. And the Marlins, that was the Josh Beckett. Boy, these days are no longer happening. Josh Beckett, 3 days rest, shut down the Yankees in Yankee Stadium.
They go full nine innings.
Full the knife, complete game.
That's a bullpen game.
Game, thrown short. Beat the Yankees, win the World Series. So they had a Marlins victory party that all the media was invited to. So I did my column. And it was very crowded at this victory party. It was outside in the parking lot, fenced off area with those big tents, right? So I go up, I show my credential, and the woman there who works for the Marlins said, "No, sir, you're not allowed here." And I said, "No, my friend just got in, you know, and he showed his media pass just like mine, and they allowed him in." And he said, "No, sir, that one's not whatever, you know, allowed." And like a dummy, it wasn't my fault.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really crowded. Mm-hmm. So I put my hand on her shoulder.
Oh, no.
You
didn't tell me that.
So I put my just gently on her shoulder. I said, "Ma'am." And she turned to me and said, "Sir, are you assaulting me?"
That's right. Technically, yes.
I said, "Assaulting
That's
you."
Right.
I literally said, like, "Assaulting you. I'm just telling you."
Yeah, Lopez said, "Look here, woman."
Yeah.
"Assaulting you."
That's what she heard.
"Hey, sweetie."
And so I turned and looked to the right where the New York PD was. And he looked at me, and I swear to God, he like rolled his eyes and said, like, "She's been like this, kind of like she's been like this all day."
You said that's New York PD, huh?
NYPD.
Okay, I'm surprised. By that.
Yeah,
New York's finest.
He rolled his eyes and kind of went like, "Yeah, she's kind of on one tonight." That kind of look, you know. And I just put my hands up. I said, "Fine, I'll leave." And then when I'm leaving, because she was really on one, she said, "Goodbye, sir."
Oh, man.
Come on, man. So that's about the closest I've gotten. But the thing that this, I never will forget.
You earned it.
I just put my hand on her shoulder and said, "Ma'am, are you assaulting me?"
That's right.
I was like, "What?"
Some answers that came in. I found this to be fascinating. Someone said that they got kicked out, or they wouldn't be let into a bar because they were wearing all white.
Mm-hmm.
Said it was gang colors.
When did all white become?
Really?
Yeah.
Like, was this like a white linen get up or something? Like, how does that happen? And I do wonder if you were just like not the right hue to go into the venue. I think that might have been some of what we're talking about here, because I can't imagine mm-hmm. wearing all white. Like, oh, that's the, yeah, it's the all white gang.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I guess there is one gang that does wear all white, or at least has historically, thinking about it. Fig, is there one that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of bars, it was one time I was up in Cleveland. I was probably like 21, 22, mm-hmm. something like that. And I was trying to get into this bar. And they were like, "No hats, no hats." And I had like one of those little hipster scullies.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was just like, I'm like, "All right." So I took the hat off thinking I could just go in.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "No, you got to take that to the car." So I'm like, "Dang." So so what I did, I was with a girl. And so we kind of walked on down and waited for a little bit. And I gave her my hat because I'm like, I ain't about to walk all the way back to the car.
Yeah. Crazy.
So I get in, he finally let me in. I look around, I see a couple dudes with hats on. I'm just like, "Wait a minute.
That's
like,
right.
Why do I got to take my hat off and you got a whole bunch of dudes in here with hats?" So I'm like, "Girl, give me my hat. I'm about to put my hat on."
Yeah.
Same guy see me. "Hey,
what did I tell you?"
Yeah. I'm like, "Look at all these people. I don't care. Out."
That was less about the hat and more about you.
Yeah, you had a bad look about
you. That place been known to be a little judgy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that. Be a little judgy, depending on what type of person coming in there.
Was this place being judgy as we were going through the various instances that we have been kicked out? Of places from the 979. Said, "Got kicked out of Isle of Capri Casino for doing backflips. They said I was too drunk." I said, "What do you mean? I landed it."
Well, that's a good defense.
Yeah.
That feels real judgy. Like,
he landed the backflip.
Yeah.
Like, I thought y'all was about entertainment here. I'm putting on shows.
Hey, it wasn't sloppy. It'd be one thing if he knocked a couple people over and knocked over a table or something like that.
I once got kicked out of churches from the 832 for falling asleep and snoring, which is ironic because this is the 5-hour energy text line.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's the snoring that got you.
Yeah.
It's the snoring that got you. Although I imagine if you were snoring in church, getting kicked out of church probably wasn't the worst thing for you.
Yeah, not
at
always.
At that point.
Not always.
From the 979, got kicked out of a high school soccer match for yelling at a ref who didn't call a hard foul, found out they don't have the power to do it, and the ref is never allowed to ref again in Texas. Huh. That's an interesting spin on that. At the end of that one, got kicked out of StubHub Stadium when the Chargers and Texans game was there. That's the soccer stadium out there that the Chargers were playing at for that time before SoFi got built. They said they were in the first row near the end zone and kept stretching their lower back and hamstrings from too long fits. They said Oh, they thought that you were planning to cross over the rail and street.
Oh
dang.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
I almost got kicked out of NRG this year.
Do tell.
So I had to do some stuff with Kroger.
Mm-hmm.
I had to shoot some stuff with Kroger.
Yeah.
And mind you, our credentials let us bring in like cameras and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I had my camera person with me, and he didn't have that type of credential.
Oh.
So we got stopped at the the metal detector.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, I got the credential. I could, you know, this is mine. I mm-hmm. tried to go in with it mine.
Yeah.
And this lady like, no, you can't do that. You can't do. I'm like, yes, I can. I don't care. You can't do that.
Wow.
And she made like a big deal about it. So I had to go, which was right. I had to go towards the media interest mm-hmm. to get, you know, the proper stickers that stuff on it. And I told her that I'm like, I could just go in the media interest and get, you know, the wristband mm-hmm. on it, and then I'll be fine.
I'm on her side.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
I'm on her side.
And I got to the point, and I never do this because I understand she's doing her job, but she was being a little extra.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, I can. I'm like, watch, I'm about to go do it.
Yeah.
And so I ended up doing that.
Yeah.
So I came through, and I almost
went. Look at Figgy flexing.
I almost went past that lady to show her, see?
Yeah,
like I got my camera because I had a job to do.
Yeah,
like I couldn't do my job if I didn't have a camera.
Yeah,
so that was the one time she almost.
I'm on the 346's side on this one too. He got kicked out of a haunted house because a clown popped up and he put his hands up and I guess touched the clown and they threw him out. Dude, if you're a clown that pops up to scare people and somebody puts their hands up and accidentally touch you.
I thought you were going
to
say that he punched him, right? Because at that point, that's something that I kind
of
understand.
I knew somebody that got kicked out of a haunted house because they was, like, recording.
Oh.
They were just being a jerk.
They
wasn't scared of nothing.
Yeah.
So they were just being a jerk, and they ended up getting kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there are. There are a couple games that do wear all white. Okay, I'm learning. But apparently a lot of y'all have gotten kicked out of places for just imbibing a little too much. Might want to put a governor on that. I found this to be interesting. 832 got kicked out of a Chuck E. Cheese for eating somebody's pizza that they thought they left behind.
That's probably good.
Friend.
Yeah, that's probably
you,
right.
You just scavenging pizza at the Chuck E. Cheese?
You didn't
examine yourself in that moment?
I'm not on your side on this one.
No. You're just like, oh, well, they left this pizza behind. Don't touch it.
Did you take the slice of pizza you was eating currently when they kicked you out?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of folks drinking too much. Maybe that's what happened with these Yankees fans. Although they seem to be very well
in their mind.
He ain't look drunk at all, man.
Oh, they felt like they knew exactly what they were doing. Got kicked out of CC's when they were 15. When there were 15 of us eating and only 12 paid. Mind you, we got there right when they opened, and then they were the only ones in there. Okay, so y'all was trying to pull a fast one in a way that y'all knew y'all wasn't going to be able to make that happen. Okay, very good. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk to our basketball and baseball guy, Adam Spillane. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Baseball Spo. Baseball Spo.
Oh, yeah. The man is in the house. His name is Adam Spillane. We like to call him Baseball Spo. He got some basketball to him, too. Don't miss it. But Adam Spillane joins us in the loop. Spo, how you doing, bro?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing quite well. I was just asking you in the break because so many people are texting in based on our question of the day. What was the time that you got kicked out of a place? And it seemed I did kind of think Spo's a good law-abiding citizen. I don't know that he would have gotten thrown out of a place, but you haven't been kicked out of anywhere.
There probably a couple times, just
like shrapnel from your friends.
There was one time maybe in Missoula where I was talking to a bouncer, and you know I was surrounded by baseball players. Mm-hmm. I knew we were going to have my back, so that kind of, you know, you change a little bit when that happens.
You're puffing out a little bit.
A little
do you know who I am?
That's really the only one I can think of.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. A lot of them keep coming in. I'll see if I could sprinkle those in during the course of the show. One of the ones that I felt the strongest about, because I really have been kind of judgmental. I'm like, oh, you earned that one. But the one that I definitely think this person should be vindicated on. They said that them and their mother got kicked out of Foley's when they were like 7 or 8. because they were hanging out in the middle of those like kind of rounders of clothes and knocked one over and then dominoed like seven over. And I'm like, that's what you're supposed to do as a kid in Foley's.
What every kid does.
In any department store, that's what kids do.
Every kid goes and runs through that, those aisles of clothes.
Another reason why kids should just be left at home.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. So we start with that take, that kids are not to be seen in public society. And let's see if we get some more out of
Spo. Welcome to the Adam Spillane experience.
All right, Spo, I want to go to the Rockets here. And one of the questions that I've been kind of asking is, what is the right way to use Reed Sheppard? Because it feels like, obviously, he has become the de facto second, or maybe not even de facto, the second ball handler on this team. But thinking about how great Jalen Green has been knocking down threes and how much that's necessary because there's not a lot of other shooting, I'm like, is that the best way of using Reed Sheppard, having him have to focus on ball handling and distributing and getting other people involved when you really desperately need his shooting?
Well, right now, he seems to have fallen out of the rotation altogether. I mean, you look just minutes-wise, 16 minutes the first game.
That's five at one point?
13 the second game, six the third game, and then only three. Against the Spurs. And really, they just, you know, so he was one of the first two guys that was coming into the game for them, coming in off the bench the first couple of games. And now, you know, that 3 minutes came towards the end of the first half where it almost felt like they just wanted to get him out there. So it doesn't feel like he's a secondary ball handler at all. I think they have wanted to do it both ways when he has played. It's been off the ball with Fred VanVleet or with one of the other guards, and then he would start the second quarter with Cam Whitmore as the primary ball handler. That obviously has kind of fallen off here in the last couple of games. We'll have to wait and see how that works. But I think the problem for Reed Sheppard so far has been, and I brought this up with Udoka after the first game. He played 16 minutes that first game. He took 1-3. To me, when he's only taking 1-3, that's kind of wasting his skill set. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Udoka said in response to that was, well, he had opportunities for others. First of all, we have to do a better job of screening for him. Mm-hmm. We have to do a better job of that. But also, when he gets the ball, he has to be ready to shoot. And I think that one of the things that you're seeing from him is that he's not quite ready to shoot yet, just because it's like in football where, as a running back, those holes in college are a whole lot bigger and they stay open a lot longer. Once you get to the NFL, those holes are smaller and they close up real quick. For a shooter in the NBA, you might be open, but defenders are so athletic and so long that that airspace gets closed up really fast on you. So he's got to learn how to be able to get his shot off a little bit quicker.
Well, my thing with him is more so, this is like, did we have different, you know, unrealistic expectations? This is what happens. Yeah. This is what happens with, especially, you know, point guards that are not the biggest guys in the world. Like, I'm not worried about him. Like, I think it'll ramp up. Like, by the end of the year, he'll be doing more of that.
Yeah, no, listen, being a rookie in the NBA is hard.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best league in the world for a reason, and it takes time to be able to get settled in and understand just, like, how good the competition actually is. He's getting picked on defensively, and he's always, you know, he's getting picked on defensively at Kentucky, too. But one of the things that he would like to do is that when he would get beat off the dribble, he had a way of just like sneaking in and grabbing the basketball from an opponent. It's harder to do that in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So he just got to kind of learn and get his feet wet and continue to just kind of take the lumps basically as a rookie in this league. But ultimately, he'll be fine. His skill set fits perfectly for what they need. It's just not going to be one of those things where right away he's a star.
Yeah.
I do wonder, though, if you know, that kind of feeling of having too much on his plate is eased, or like the idea of knowing when to shoot and feeling comfortable is eased, if his role is simplified to, hey, when you're out there, catch and shoot, as opposed to when you're out there, distribute and get other people involved. And if you are able to move him into that role, what then does it look like, you know, with another ball handler? Is it just Jalen Green then becoming your secondary ball handler and trusting him to initiate offense?
Well, I think that's why when he would first come into games, he would be on the floor with VanVleet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that way that he could kind of ease his way into the game. He would not have to take over that primary ball handling role until, you know, he had played 4 or 5 minutes. And even, you know, VanVleet wouldn't play the whole first quarter, but VanVleet would come out and Jalen Green would come in. And so, again, it's kind of Green taking hold of the offense. Then once the second quarter would start, they would get Cam Whitmore in there, and it would be Sheppard by himself running the offense, and he would only have to do it for a few minutes.
To me, the more intriguing thing, and I mentioned this with Reggie and B. Scott yesterday, is the Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün sort of dynamic. Like, awesome, you know, with Jalen Green, what we've seen so far. B. Scott saying he expects him to be an all-star, but, you know, getting them to mesh is just not happening right now.
Yeah, it's been strange. You look that first game, and I think it's more Şengün than anything else. Mm-hmm. And I think that He has not been nearly, I don't know what his shooting percentage is for the season, but he hasn't been very efficient at all. Like, you look at that first half of that first game, he was the best player on the floor, and he was the best player on the floor by a pretty wide margin. And then he's kind of fallen off here the last few games. I don't know if it's just been a matchup thing where playing against Victor Wembanyama and just the size and the length that comes with that, if that's kind of disrupted him a little bit. I mean, he had plenty of success against Wembanyama last year when he had the 40-point game against him. So I don't know exactly what it is. I don't think it's a Green versus Şengün thing. I just think that for whatever...
But they do have to mesh.
Yeah.
You have to run through someone.
Yeah, and I think that they ultimately will... I need to look and see just like what the post-up numbers are for Şengün. It doesn't seem like they are running as many, but they're going to double every single post-up, and then he's got to be able to make the right decision. A lot of times he has, and they've got to be able to make those shots. And there were a couple just like wide open looks from three that they missed off of Şengün double teams against the Spurs on Monday. They got to be able to make those shots.
Yeah. They get going again on Thursday, tomorrow, funny enough, during the course of Sunday Night Football. Thursday Night Football. They'll also be playing the Mavs at the same time. I just want to hit you with the baseball spo. I don't want to neglect that part of you. Have you been watching this World Series, and have you been entertained by it? Because I know that locally there's been folks that have had a hard time getting into it with just two teams that you despise, but I found myself enjoying the baseball.
I didn't watch last night. I thought that the first game was unbelievable and one of the best games that you'll ever see. Saturday's game, game two, where the Yankees did get the bases loaded in the ninth inning, I thought that was a really fun finish. The game on the Freddie Freeman stuff has just been incredible. To me, this has been a fun World Series just because of kind of the aesthetics of it. You know, last year you're playing, all the World Series games are basically played in an airport hangar in Phoenix and in Arlington. Like, it's just a, those aren't fun stadiums to look at. It's domes and they're just like very plain. And then you get to Dodger Stadium where the game starts and the sky is blue. You get the I Love LA.
It's about the aesthetics.
Yeah. You get the I Love LA after the Freeman homer, which is a real, I love that.
And the logos, let's be honest.
Yeah, the jerseys and the logos are great. I think Joe Davis has been really, really good in this series. So I've enjoyed the series. It's a weird series just because of how the teams play. You know, with the starting pitching and some of the reliever stuff. So I've enjoyed this series. You know, I get some, not everybody's going to, but today's a big game, obviously. And if the Yankees can send this back to LA, then that changes things quite a bit.
And I've got to get my my weekly, the Indiana Hoosiers are going to blow it.
12 Windiana coming at you.
The Indiana Hoosiers are going to blow it because Adam Spillane take.
Well, I mean.
The undefeated, your alma mater. Near and dear to you with all the doubt that
soon
you still
to be
have.
Big Ten champion.
No, he doubts him. He doubts him every week.
I said I don't really want us to be in the Big Ten championship game because that's an opportunity to lose.
Opportunity to lose.
Well, I don't want to play Oregon, basically.
Fair enough.
I would rather be 11-1 and not have to play Oregon than be, you know, 12-1 and have to lose to Oregon. You know, it's
go
just,
team.
Yeah, here we go. Start here. But I look at they did the ESPN thing yesterday, and I guess they just did it by the AP poll, which was so stupid.
Yeah.
But, like, we're 13th in the AP poll, undefeated in the Big Ten. What, Texas is 7th?
Yeah.
With a loss to Georgia at home? No good.
See, you're coming around. Coming around.
Does Texas have any good wins? Notre Dame is above us. Why exactly? They lost at home to Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
So how is Notre Dame ahead of Indiana right now? Explain this to me.
All right. See, this is encouraging.
There it is.
This is encouraging.
There it is.
Bring back the BCS.
All it took was what? Nine weeks?
Give me the Jeff Sagarin ratings again.
There you go. He's ready. He's ready for 12 Windiana. His name is Adam Spillane. You catch him on the H-Town Hoops podcast. I know you guys recorded a new podcast just yesterday, correct?
No, I think we're going to tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah, okay. So I'm off.
Or actually,
I'm off
I take schedule. That back. I think we're going to do it today.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. So check that out. H-Town Hoops, wherever you get your podcast free, and with our guys Adam Spillane and B. Scott. Adam, you're not Brandon. First of all, and secondly, appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time.
I'll see y'all later.
There you go. That's Adam Spillane. Baseball spo, basketball spo, giving us that real.
I love his hate and doubt.
Right here
I
on
just
Sports
love
Radio
his hate and doubt so much.
I mean, that's how you know he's a
surly,
real fan.
He's a surly type.
Because that's fandom down to a T, right? Where you can say, looking at a 9-win team, so possibly could be an undefeated team, like, I just don't want them to go to the championship. Could lose.
You play in the Big Ten. It's the best conference in America.
We'll hear about fandom stuff happening.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Home of the defending national champion.
There you go.
Screw the SEC. Yeah. Big Ten, baby.
We got two Big Teners in here, don't we? All right, coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including Aaron Rodgers has apparently the fountain of youth. Let's see if Aaron Rodgers can help us all out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.